LOA Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting, Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. It is 5:30 p.m.
All right, we'll begin call to order and begin with roll call. Angela Kowalczyk-Adrians.
Excused.
Dina Mooney.
Here.
Ryan Hallberg.
Here.
Danielle Piarki is here. Michael Borowski.
Here.
Mark Seidel.
Here.
And Trustee Rob Atwood.
Here.
All right. The next item is modifying or adopting the agenda. Is there a motion or discussion?
I'll move to approve the agenda as shown.
I'll second that.
All those in favor of adopting the agenda as shown, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Agenda adopted. Next item is approval of the August 30th, 2022 minutes. Is there any discussion or motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of approval of the August 30th, 2022 minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Minutes approved. For public appearances?
There are none.
All right. Number five, announcements.
Just a couple of announcements I wanted to provide to the committee. The first one there, WDNR, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Urban Forestry grant submission. I'm working on an urban forestry grant for next year. And that grant would be for tree planting, for replacement tree planting for all the ash that we've removed. This wouldn't be to replace all of them, but we're looking at approximately 100 trees. It's 50-50 grant, so the project would be about a little over $35,000. The village's cost share would be labor and equipment to install the trees. And then it's a reimbursement grant that we would get back from the state, the cost of what those trees are. So I plan to get that submitted yet this week. And then we should find out by mid-November whether or not we receive that grant. Next item, Optimus Park vandalism. Wanted to just update the committee or give the committee a little information on that. A couple of times in the past month and a half, we've had some graffiti vandalism over at Optimus Park. They hit the playground as well as men's restroom. So we've gotten most of it cleaned up. Am working with DEO Vogel. He's doing some investigating on that. He's been talking with the neighbors and checking on some leads, and that we do have the location under surveillance, and in case it gets hit again, we hope to capture someone in the act. And that, so it's unfortunate, but wanted to let you guys know in case you heard or saw. Mm-hmm. I think we put a little blurb out on social media about that to try to gain any insight from anyone there. So.
We don't currently have cameras at that location.
Currently, we do not, no. So. All righty.
The next item, six, discussion and action on a request for mountain bike trails.
I believe I provided everyone with this information. This is a request from a resident that looking to see if the village would consider putting in single track mountain bike trails. I told them that currently we do not have anything in our plan, in our comprehensive outdoor rec plan with that, nor was that in the bike and pedestrian plan that was put together several years ago either. But I bring it to the committee to see if they had thoughts on it or anything to say, about that. There are the location she was referring to, a couple of different locations. There's an area here at Green Isle Park, there's a little pathway that comes down here along the river that's kind of, you know, kids use it to ride their bikes on, and it's kind of a cut-through path. And then there's a couple of other areas down through along the parks and the parkways that are along the river. There's another cut-through path that here by Kiwanis Park that cuts through. And then as you get down to Wheezy Park, there's more gravel trails. These trails here are gravel that kind of come up and through the woods. All of these locations along the parkway, you know, the majority of them are within a floodway, and there are some wetlands, you know, in these areas. So, you know, anything like mountain biking, you know, could cause some issues with, you know, the habitat, the ground, you know, especially if you get high water periods or anything like that. I just wanted to kind of get some direction from the committee, see if you had any questions, any thoughts that you might have with that. And, you know, if you wanted staff to continue to investigate this, we could, you know, for a future possible project. But, you know, like I said, currently we don't have that in any of our plans. We don't have, you know, any funding designated towards a project like that, so.
Were those cut-through trails, were those just people created on their own?
Yeah, pretty much cowpath. Yeah, okay. Cowpath trails that over the years people have created.
Yeah.
You know, you see them all over the places, you know, whether it's, you know, at a school, in a, you know, cutting a corner somewhere, you know, things right. like that. People always decide to take the quickest, least resistant type of thing, and they'll create those type of cow path trails. Yeah.
That one by Kiwanis that you noted, I'm familiar with that one because when the trail is flooded, it's the one we all use to get around the flooded trail.
Right.
Sure it was probably an animal path at some point, and then we
sure.
all kind of started walking on it, but
sure.
I know that one pretty well because I've walked on it.
You know, I also, you know, if we were to take on something like this, I believe there would be maintenance involved with it. You know, something that would, you know, have that type of use would require, you know, constant maintenance to make sure it's safe and those type of things. So
I had a couple of notes and observations, you know, things we might just ask more questions on. I guess one thing I like is if we can use the land we have and layer in the uses. You know, I think in the work I do, I see a lot more interest in the non-programmed uses in parks, which is helpful for staff because you don't have to find staff to run the program.
Sure.
But like you said, there's always nothing is no maintenance, so there's going to be something no matter what. But I like when we've got assets of land and there's a way to use it in a way that we haven't tried to before, which gets more people talking about and thinking about and visiting parks, number one. I know this same kind of thing came up as a question in this Green Bay Parks in Hinisra recently,
okay.
within the last year, because I'm part of an organization, the Active Communities Alliance, that was sourced to talk about it and think about it and help it. I know Heather, who was on our team in the last recent,
yep.
she was part of a team that helped
okay.
answer some of those questions, so she might be a resource for us to understand, is it even feasible? Because
mm-hmm.
I know in that case, and in some of the things I've seen in trails I've been on, it's really more, you want more of a route or a loop or some kind of distance.
Right.
And I don't know if any of ours necessarily are obvious places for where you could make it worthwhile. It's just simply not big enough, I'm guessing. But someone like Heather might know, or Green Bay Parks would be maybe a good research source because they've just gone through the same kind of question.
Okay.
That's just my two cents.
Do we know what the interest level is, what the utilization would look like?
No, we do not. This is the only request I've had of such a use in my time here.
Well, just based on that, where I'd be with this is not going any further with it. We've got enough stuff that's in the out period, plus the fact that this doesn't fit with any of the current plans that we have. I think we got enough stuff on our plate right now with the maintenance items that we've got coming up for next year. Now we don't need any new stuff unless there was some kind of, you know, major push in terms of a lot of people, an organization that came forward and said, you know, I got 100 bikers out here that would really love to have a mountain trail or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, the only, go ahead.
Nope, I was just asking for questions.
The only thing, maybe, I don't want to say an easy way out, but to incorporate something like that, I'm with you. If the demand's not there, it's not there. My secondary thought is, that trail's hard to walk on right now when you got bikers that are screaming down it. So, because they'll come up on you really quick, and it's like, it's just really not wide enough, you know? But maybe some signage, some nice signage, you know, that we could pound in the stakes where those alternative paths are, and we label them alternative path, you know, walking or biking, you know,
sure.
And let people use them as they see fit, instead of going out with a designated mountain biking trail, because of just that reason. The only turnaround I could see is a starting point someplace on Green Isle Park, for example, essentially where the trail would start in Alloway, and take it to Kiwanis and make that loop in the gravel and come back. But is the trail itself sustainable enough to publicize a mountain biking trail?
Or is it even maybe the scale of it? Like, there is a great new mountain bike trail out at, is it the reforestation camp?
I believe so.
So,
yeah.
Like, people that are serious are going to go there, right? But if you're a little kid, maybe this is a first timer loop or something, to your point of using some assets we have in a strategic way.
Sure.
To give folks a chance to get out.
Yeah, I think the scale of this, what we're looking at, I always feel like topography is always part of mountain biking too. And it's not really in our plan to do as far as like communicating that to the person. Like, it's not in our outdoor rec plan for right now. You know, we can always reevaluate in the future. But just for the needs of the community, it's not there. I mean, I understand the signing part of it, which I don't think hurts anything, but I don't know. I don't think we've got a lot of avid, like, mountain bikers that are clamoring for a facility.
If we were to put signage up for, like, the alternate trail type of thing, would we be required to maintain those trails then, if we're advertising that it's an option?
We would need to make sure they're safe. At minimum.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I guess I haven't been on those trails, so it's hard for me to know.
Right.
I'm assuming there's probably tree limbs and stuff that we have to be cutting down or...
Yeah, depending on... Usually we rely on users to let us know of issues along those type of locations.
Okay.
And that, you know, we don't typically schedule, you know, maintenance for those locations.
But the signage could help get ahead of the game, or at least advance an idea about alternatives around flooding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if they're marked as just alternative.
Sure.
At least we start something on that process of
sure.
flooding.
Sure.
And I would offer that absolutely we don't want to put something out there that's unsafe, but if we think about places we've been, I walk around Keenister all the time because my kids go to Lombardi and I'm killing time with the dog walking around. you're not going to get poked in the eye with a stick necessarily. I mean, you might, but it's not a well-maintained trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because it's not well-maintained. I'll say, you know, there's a challenge
trail.
Yeah.
It's more, it's more natural.
It's an adventure.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think same thing over at Baird's Creek. They've got a mountain bike facility that's relatively new over there, but the natural trail there is also very wild feeling, which is part of the fun. You know,
yeah.
It's not this 10-foot wide.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get mowed down because you can't. You have to go kind of slow.
You have to go down. You can't go up. That's why there's only
one way. Yeah. So you know, I not to say that there is no maintenance. That's
mm-hmm.
I agree. There's nothing that's no maintenance, but. I think to your point of setting up standard or an expectation that this is a natural path or something that is implied that this isn't going to be easy.
Sure.
Yeah.
At what point in time do we stop adding new programs and spending more money? It's easy to add stuff, and I don't have a problem with the signage. Actually, I think it's a pretty good idea. But staff is staff.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a limited number of hours that they're going to spend doing what they do. And the village has got a limited amount of budgetary, discretionary spending. At what point in time do we say, hey, look, this one, I understand somebody wants it. It's not a big deal. Why bother?
Well, but I think if I remember in the letter, there was some kind of offer to help. Was it offer? Maybe
I don't know if it was an offer from this individual
okay.
to help, but there were suggestions
ideas
of where
about,
you could potentially find some funding.
Sure.
Which falls back on staff.
Sure. What that's how it was offered, but it does to your point, and to your point doesn't mean it has to,
right?
I think the message could be, hey, thanks for the information. This is interesting. Capacity's a problem.
Sure.
You know, we could use some help. If it's something that you can champion and rally, you know. Let's continue the conversation,
maybe.
It still requires time. And I'm sensitive to the amount of work that's already going on or needs to go on to add another piece. And I'm not saying this is necessarily it. It's generally how much do we add to staff before it starts costing us more money?
Sure.
Or we can't do something else. That's bigger priority.
To answer your question, Mike, we're very close to being there right now. Yep. I would be hard pressed to recommend to do any new ventures, new large scale projects that would require additional staff maintenance and or involvement with the current staffing level that we have.
And especially when it's outside the plan. I mean,
correct.
There's nothing that says we were going to do this or that we had a priority to do this.
And there was no other community support for it during that process either, too. You know.
I go back to pickleball. When pickleball was just starting out, Alloy didn't have much of a facility. We had a couple lines on a different court, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. Okay, so maybe this is what it is with mountain biking. I mean, there are other resources that we can point at. Maybe it is getting bigger and bigger, and maybe someday down the road we will need to do something about it. And I think it's a cool idea to do, but given where we're at, I just don't see it as something that I'd rather say no to somebody and say thank you very much. And we'll put it in our thinking cap for future than trying to make a half-baked commitment and then have somebody feeling like we didn't follow through.
So. Well, just to touch on that too, the problem with having a committee, general public committee, take the initiative and move it forward, when the interest runs out, it's left abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to have contingency plans put in place to take it over. My thought on the signs was at least it helps start moving the flooding issue into something that's marked, because it seems where I we're locked on any decision that we make. DNR.
Kind of a dual usage thing.
Yeah, see, I'm cool with the signs because of what you just said. It was something that we already had on the table around the flooding issue. We were trying to get around how do we make that safe and usable when the water is high, and the signage may make total sense. But that's kind of within the bailiwick of what we're already working on. It's not consistent
adding
with
something
a new plan.
But it could help lend a solution to that request as well, yeah, without handcuffing us.
I hear what you're saying. I just feel like the commitment to doing something on another issue is a different kind of commitment.
Mm. Agreed.
I did have this as an action item, so if somebody wanted to make an action on it, you know.
For the sake of discussion, I'll vote to decline. I'd motion to decline the request at this point.
Second.
All right, there's been a motion to decline the request for mountain bike trails. The motion has been seconded. We'll now take a vote. All in favor of denying the request, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, but
I think
we'll continue
denial,
with your
you.
Suggestion
yeah.
of the signage.
Yeah, I just,
because,
you know, like I said, for the sake of discussion, I just don't even think that that area is sustainable for a mountain bike trail.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No. Unless you want to build a mountain.
Well, thank you.
All right, next item for discussion, electric bicycles, e-bikes on trails.
Well, this kind of rolls right into with what Rob was talking about, of bikes on the trails. I have received a few complaints from trail users of electric bikes, the e-bikes, utilizing the trails and traveling at pretty fast speeds. Those bikes can travel anywhere from, if they're pedaled, normal bicycle speed to up to 30 miles an hour. And it seems like they are becoming more and more popular. I'm seeing more and more of them around all over the place, right? We currently do not have any ordinances or anything against e-bikes. We do have a rule of no motorized vehicles on trails. E-bikes are not considered motorized unless they go over 30 miles an hour by state statute. So, I did reach out to our neighbors, all of our neighboring communities, and the vast majority of them are just kind of in the same stage we are right now. They are getting a few complaints here and there. They are, you know, doing some investigation. Brown County Parks, they actually provided some information that they utilize, utilizing the state statutes for electric bicycles. They allow e-bikes on their trails. They have to be under 50 mile an hour.
I was going to ask.
Yep.
Yeah.
Green Bay, City of Green Bay Parks, they're working with their legal staff right now, researching to see the direction that they want to go. As Ashwaubenon hasn't received any complaints. Ledgeview, no complaints. De Pere received one complaint just a couple days ago. He got back to me, just wondering what we're all doing. I think in communicating with all these other communities, we're on the same idea of we should try to do the same thing. Especially on multi-jurisdictional trails. So I think we'll still continue to work on this to come up with a solution. Wanted to see if any of the committee members had thoughts or ideas, not that we're going to take action on it or anything at this point in time, but, you know, just to see what you may think. Idea I thought was, you know, maybe some signage, speed limit signage, you know, try to control that. I did speak with Officer Vogel about if they've had any situations with that at Brown County Sheriff's Department. And he said, nothing really yet. Ultimately, it would be their responsibility to police it, but it's not a high priority for them. And, you know, and anything that gets put on the books, well, you do need to police it then too, right? So, but wanted to bring it to your guys' attention and see what you might, your thoughts or ideas or anything like that.
I would say once again that the East River Trail is not sustainable for an engaged e-bike. So if you're going to do a sign, I wouldn't do speed limits because then you got to put them, but you have entrances that say no motorized vehicles, no engaged e-bikes. That way it's posted if there's a problem. I mean, if somebody's pedaling one of those, there's no way you can tell them they have to stay off the trail.
Correct.
Unless you ban all bikes.
Yeah, most e-bikes are assist oriented bicycles. And where some of, as a trike owner who has a motor, a lot of those trikes that are assist e-bikes are as a result of people who are incapacitated or limited in terms of their ability.
Sure.
So I think we're gonna get into stepping on the Americans with Disability Act.
Absolutely.
And a few other things if we start to ban things. I agree that the East River Trail is a problem, especially in some of the areas where the curves go in and out. And those are problems with manual bikes as well as the e-bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been passed going through there by people on regular bicycles, pedaling their little whatever off. And it is it's a concern because if somebody's coming the other way and you're making a wide turn, stuff gets happening really quick. So I think there's a safety issue here. I don't know how to approach it, and I certainly wouldn't go after assisted bikes in the process of doing that, or I'd be very careful.
I would echo your concern about equity. I think that, e-assist anything for me is kind of a sore spot, and I think speed is the issue. And I think no matter what the vehicle is, if it's a bike or a skateboard or a car, there's a few people ruining it for everybody else, and I'd rather focus on what is the problem than the mode. I think I agree definitely that having a variety of things is great. I think we need to just be consistent to your point too about managing the speed.
Especially if what I run into a lot is the pack people, like 3-4 people racing, not racing, or going together.
Oh.
So they're packed up. So if somebody's coming the other way with a stroller walking, that's a full trail in certain places down there.
Yeah, and maybe this is as much, you're citing coordinated effort on what the rule is. Maybe it's also a coordinated regional effort on equity, or not equity, etiquette, right? I mean, it's as much that, hey, I get that you're on a mission, I'm not. And we all need to share the space. And I think that, you know, I know, again, there's staff and all the things that we talked about with the prior item. If we're all as communities trying to think about this, maybe we can all pool our resources to figure out how to outreach, whether it's social media or share the message that etiquette on trails and sharing the space is important.
I concur with that because the other problem is when people are wearing full headsets, got both ears plugged, and somebody's coming up behind them or coming around a corner, they can't hear what's going on. And a lot of times you can't, there's a lot of blind corners in there. You can't see what's coming, but you could hear it if you were paying attention to.
Sure, dual message then, etiquette and safety.
Exactly,
too.
Yeah. Here's some safety issues. We should keep it down below X speed. We should not be, you know, we should be cognizant of the fact that we can hear things better than we can see things some places on the trail. Yeah, there are people.
Agreed.
You're integrating walkers, strollers, rollerbladers, and bicyclers, and I don't know what else.
Leash dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unleashed dogs.
Well, people walking their dogs, they're taking up this much space. Okay, that's great. But people walking their dogs and pushing a stroller are the other issue, because who are we paying attention to? The dog, the kid, ourselves, or who's coming at us? Mm-hmm. It's complex. It's very complex. You know, and nobody's in the wrong in that particular case. We should all be looking out for one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes back to the trail simply can't sustain, you know, some of that traffic. You know, it's not the Fox River Trail where you're straight and go, and you can be on a bike and it's essentially a lane and a half road. That's not. So it just can't support it.
And even on the Fox River Trail, there are issues with etiquette that where, you know, people are walking four across or biking four across or doing whatever they're doing, where they could be more sensitive to other people using the same facility.
Yeah. Unfortunately, common sense isn't so common.
No, really.
And those are the type of rules that you post, and those are the type of people that aren't going to read them or care about them. So.
Well, I think it may need to be more than rules, too, right? I mean, I agree. Like, the top 10 list, who needs to know the top 10 list? You should know the top 10 list. Your mother should have taught you when you were five. But maybe if we can pool our resources within the region, we've talked about this when it comes to safe pedestrian crossings in the Safe Walk and School, the Safe Walk and Bike Plan, about creative messaging for, it's the law, right? And so what if we got, you know, Packer players to walk across the street with a baby stroller and in a TV ad or something, or a billboard? You know, maybe it takes some creative problem solving outside of our small group, but at the regional level, to say, hey, this is important, and we have to share the space, and, you know, we need to tap what we've got, which is, you know, people in big green jumpsuits, you know, to help us tell that story in a way that catches people's attention and kind of inspires change.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything. Going back to the e-bikes, I would say there's no point in trying to ban them. I would be against that, because my experience is the manual bikes are the fastest ones out there.
Yeah, they fly.
Yeah. But just one thing that's not going to solve the problem but could help is adding lane lines down the middle of it.
Mm.
Just kind of reinforces the mentality it's a two-way street, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are less prone to pass if they feel like they're in a lane they have to watch out for.
Does anyone, because they have lane lines on the Fox River Trail, do people, you know, do they abide by that? You know,
like
other than like going around,
staying towards one half of it when there's a line, when there are lines. It's not perfect. People can still break it.
Unless there's moose poop and then everybody.
But then it's what it could help.
Right. Don't they have lane lines either in the De Pere or the Ledgeview part of the trail?
Oh, no.
That's a good question.
I feel like I've seen
those. I feel like I've seen those too, but I think the trail gets a little wider there too.
I don't remember.
I know we've got some lane lines at some sections of a few of our other trails where there's some curves, and I know right over by Heritage Hill on that trail that goes down, lane lines on that
one.
Those,
yep.
That's right.
Or maybe it'd be more effective than doing it on long whole trails just around those curves.
We'll
put the line in, just kind of visual.
That's a good idea.
People.
To focus on the areas where there's congestion and see if we can...
Yeah.
Save something there.
Right.
Maybe it's just a matter of assigning at the trail entrances that they say practice good trail etiquette. But like I said, the people that are going to break that rule aren't reading that sign.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I think the idea about trying to do something regionally with some kind of an ad that shows, you know, some crash victim, you know, that usually gets people's attention. You know, somebody got run over by a reindeer, and they go from there.
Well, I will continue to work with our neighbors and see, you know, what they may have as far as suggestions and the legalities and some of those type of things. Because I believe that, you know, they're going to start to get more and more of the same type of things, and they'll be talking to their committees and their boards as well. So
for the complaints, mostly like speed and
exactly what you guys were talking about is, you know, somebody came up behind us when we were on a curve, didn't even know they were there, and they went zooming by. And, you know, another person had their dog on a leash, and one of these bikes went zooming by. And, you know, and they're electric, so you don't hear them, right? But, like I said, I think it's going to become more and more of, you know, the type of a bicycle that is going to become more and more common.
Are there a lot of complaints about etiquette in general? Like, more than just the e-bike?
Not officially, I would say. You know, occasionally you get a call about, you know, whether it's a dog or whether it's the bikes, like you said, within the packs. Or
I think if you stood at the end of the trail on a busy day and surveyed people, you would get complaints. Just like, oh, that guy was going too fast, or we almost collided in this corner, or, you know, there was you know, a dog that jumped out at me when I was going by with my bicycle. It happens. I think people are aware, mostly aware on the trail, that that could happen, so they are careful, so we don't have the injury or problems that we could have, and thankfully, I guess. But yeah, I think I could complain every time I go on the trail about somebody who didn't follow some reasonableness.
One other resource you might, again, knowing time is precious, Michelle at the Wisconsin Bike Fed is based out of Appleton, and I know they're advocating for bikes, but I think part of advocacy is making sure a few people don't ruin it for the others. And I mean, they've got a team. They've got a lobbyist in Madison. Like, they, so it could be an easy question to her and say, hey, we're dealing with this. We need to understand how to handle it. Gather us some resources, make us a case so we can consider it. And then it's not something, you know, you or some other department has to handle. It's the people that have access to all of that, even nationally, could be doing the work for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think, like I said, with our neighbors also working on this, we'll be able to come up with some potential solutions. And at that point in time, you know, we'll come back to the committee and provide you guys with more information and kind of a path forward. So, thank you.
Yeah. All right, item number 8, information and discussion on the AT&T easement request.
This was a request that came in from AT&T for an easement because they're installing fiber optics throughout the community too. A couple of different locations for their requested easement. One happens to be across the driveway at Kiwanis Park. There's utility easements in the backyards of all of those properties, but they never had that easement go through when they platted this out through the park area. So there's one there.
So can right we there. Say yes to that if they repave the park? I mean, the parking lot in.
And one a little farther down, which is in a gap of that's an access point that the village owns. So that's why it was never there. I provided this information to you so you could, you know, look at that prior to the meeting. Since then, our public works director did investigate this a little farther. He deals a lot more with easements and utility permitting and things like that. His recommendation, and we're still discussing this at staff level, but his recommendation would be to not allow an easement, but to just provide them a fee-based utility permit to go through these areas. Mm-hmm. With an easement, as you might have read in there, the individual that is provided that easement has more control over that property, which could hinder the village down the road if we were to want to do something.
Does all the time.
I.e., if we needed to regrade that and change the grade in that, or whatnot, or build something, you know. Whereas a utility easement, or I'm sorry, a utility permit, here you can utilize this, you can put your utility in there, you pay this fee. If down the road the village needs to do something, you need to move your line. The village wouldn't, you know, be on that. So I think that's the direction we'll likely go. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of let you know that this was, you know, a request to the village crossing park property, and that's likely the direction that we'll go, you know.
I think that's really wise. Yeah, I'm dealing with this right now on a project in a park, and it's severely limiting the park's ability to develop the way they want to develop, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's especially with some of these easements, you see that they're into perpetuity. Is that the right word?
It is.
You know,
yep.
Then you know your hands are tied for
ever.
So
yeah, we know about those, don't we? Webster Street.
Yep. So
what is it called? A utility what?
Permit.
Just permit.
Yep.
Permit.
Yep. And Sean's department, public works department, they deal with those all the time, with mm-hmm. those permits. So good. Thank you.
All right, item number 9, next meeting date and future agenda items.
The reason I've got this on here is because the October meeting, I'm going to be out of town on vacation. I leave on the 21st and won't be back till the 30th.
Good vacations.
So, yeah, and this is one I've been looking forward to for quite a while.
Good for you.
So, going to Wyoming. So, didn't know if, we wanted to try to find another date outside of that window to have a meeting, that we could reschedule, potentially cancel, or, you know, still maybe hold the meeting. I wouldn't be able to attend, you know, if it were, you know,
to take place. I am also out on that day, too, so I couldn't attend.
Something else that I realized as I was jotting my notes here, the November meeting, which is the 4th Tuesday, that's the week of Thanksgiving, and this happens every year to us. Mm-hmm. And then in December, it's the 4th Tuesday, is the week between Christmas and New Year's. So just some things to think about that we'll likely have to adjust, potentially have to adjust. You know, some of these meetings, you know, because of, you know, where they lay, you know. Unfortunately, having our meetings on the 4th Tuesday always seems to fall, right. You know, within there. So if anyone has any suggestions or thoughts on the October meeting at this time, otherwise I can come up with some ideas, email those out here in the next few weeks, and we can try to coordinate something.
Can we dare just move October, November, and December all up 1 week?
I was just looking at this, that it's going to fall into the village board meeting on each one of those, especially with budgets coming in too.
And
but what if we moved them to the third Monday of each month for October, November, December?
Well, the other thing I was going to say too is Wednesdays and Thursdays are usually pretty free. There's nothing else going on. Okay. You know, meeting-wise.
But we'd fall into Thanksgiving and long weekends and Christmas. But if we looked at the third Monday of each month, October, November, December.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. It looks like it'd be the 17th, the 21st, and the 19th.
I'm going down with dates.
That should be fine.
I can't make the 17th, but the other ones would be fine. But
right. Third Mondays look like they're open. Doesn't look like we typically have anything here at the Village Hall on those, on third Mondays of the month.
Should we lock it in?
Well, we could do it for
October 17th, November 21st, and December 19th.
So I can't do October 17th, but we'd still have quorum if everybody else could.
Right.
Cool.
What was the November?
10-17, 11-21, and 12-19.
Well, we can sure try for those. Any other thoughts or concerns or questions with that? If I'm incorrect in anything is typically on that date, or I'll check this week and double check. I'll email everybody and we can try to coordinate something else. But I think that would probably work a little better. All right.
Last item is adjournment.
Hold on. Oops, future agenda items. Yep. Any future agenda items?
We'll get the youth baseball back
yep.
on.
Yep. All righty. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. And last item, adjournment. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
We are adjourned at 6:16 p.m.
Yeah, just